morning and glad that we're able to be here and worship God together. We had a little problem with our song up there, some of the technical problems, and I have a problem too. I cannot find the clicker. If anyone has seen the clicker, it's a little black thing with three buttons on it. Please return that to the back there. In the meantime, I'm going to lift my finger whenever we need to make a change, and I'm going to be lifting it quite often. So we've got a lot of things. So we'll try to get that coordinated between Rita and me. When tempted sore to turn aside, as at some bypath I've stood, this thought has helped me to decide, not what I would, but what I should. In daily life comes many a test to those who purpose to be good. To such this motto I suggest, not what I would, but what I should. Life's little span by God is planned. I would not change it if I could. My course is guided by his hand. Not what I would, but what I should. Not my will, Father, thine be done, said one who was supremely good. Here's strength for those who evil shun. Not what I would, but what I should. If in my heart aught lurketh still to keep from me thy highest good, cleanse every thought, control my will, till what I should is what I would. If you'd like to get your Bibles, you might want to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, and we're going to be going all the way through verse 17, so it's a rather lengthy reading. You may want to look at it in your own translation. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 17. Realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. For among them are those who enter into households and captivate weak women, weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth. Men of depraved mind, rejected in regard to the faith. But they will not make further progress, for their folly will be obvious to all, just as Jannes' and Jambres' folly was also. Now you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all, the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. I don't know about you, but when I read through that, I can't help but think that Paul didn't write those some 2,000 years ago, those words, but he wrote them today, for today. Certainly, we're living in a very difficult time. And you think in our generation that there is so much evil, and there is. But every older generation has thought that the younger generation was going to the dogs. I am certainly not attempting to minimize the many ills of our present society because we seem to be going farther and farther away from God. But when I think of the condition of the world in the time of Noah and the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah, I can thank God that we have not yet stooped to that degenerate level, even though we may be pretty close. But so let's look at some of the words that Paul used to describe the difficult times in the last days that would come. The first there, difficult times, is defined as perilous or furious, a word that is used only here and in Matthew chapter 8, verse 28, where it refers to violent demoniacs. Lovers of self. It is from the word phileo, which means selfish or fond of self. And we were talking about that in class this morning. Lovers of money. Certainly, from the word phileo again, it is a word that means fond of silver, and it's found only here and in Luke chapter 16 and verse 14, where in some translations it is translated as avaricious. Boastful, meaning braggarts or even imposters. And the arrogant, those who are proud and those who are haughty and those who appear that they think more highly of themselves than they ought to think. Revilers, those who are blasphemous. Actually, the word blasphemous, the Greek word we get blasphemous from. Abusive, slanderous, evil speaking. He refers to the disobedient as the unpersuadable. He also refers to revilers as those who ungrateful, the opposite of being thankful. Unholy, meaning secular, no fellowship with God. The unloving, storge. It is a type of love, but certainly we are talking about familial love there. There's no real family love, and we see so much of divided families in our day and time. The unholy, a word that means secular, and again, no fellowship with God. Irreconcilable, those who are truce breakers without libation for a treaty or unforgiving. And malicious gossips, slanderous, falsely accuse others. And that is from the Greek word diabolos, or diabolic would be our definition of that. Without self-control. Certainly we see a great deal of this, and this is particularly in regard to bodily lust. The brutal, savage, fierce, untamed, haters of good, without love for good, those who have no love for good. And then the treacherous, one who is a traitor, a betrayer. And this is the word that was used for Judas in Luke chapter 6 and verse 16. Reckless, falling headlong, rash, hasty. And then the word conceited, to envelop with smoke, high-minded, filled with pride. Lovers of pleasure, fond of sensual pleasure, physical delight, or lustful, and having a form of godliness. This is from the word morphosis, when we think about the caterpillar changing into the butterfly, has a semblance or has an appearance of godliness, but in reality is not. Well, those are some strong words, aren't they? Can you imagine Paul as he's writing to the Christians and he's talking about some of the people who were evil people, and you think we're living in that type world today? It just amazes me when you turn on the news, and I don't know why I do turn it on every night. It's the same thing. It's horrors that have occurred in our nation and throughout the world. But in our country, you can almost say that we're no longer the United States of America. We're just America, because we're not very united. We are divided right down the middle. And certainly we see these evils abounding and these evils coming from our colleges and universities. And we see these evils coming from businesses in our nation today. And we just wonder, what's it going to take to get our country back on the right track again? And certainly I think it's going to take a great deal of prayer. But it's going to take even more than prayer. God expects us not only to pray, but also to do things that are going to be positive in our country. You know, some Christians look at all the evil that is in the world, and they believe that one person cannot make a difference. Instead of being a positive force in a negative setting, they cave in to the peer pressures. We see this over and over again. We see it with those who are our Christian brothers and sisters throughout the world, and particularly in this country, as many of them have gone the ways of the world, or they've gone the way of religious denominations. Their theory is, if you can't beat them, then join them. That's not the right way. Other Christians try to live the Christian life pretty much in secrecy. They don't want to bother anyone. They don't want anyone to bother them. They just want to go about their way, and they want to come to services on Sunday and not say anything to anyone on the outside, but just let me be and I'll let you be. I remember reading a story some time back, several years back, about a man who was working at a company, and sure enough, someone found out that he was a member of the Lord's church. And this other man that found out said, "I didn't know you were a member of the Lord's church." And he said, "Yes, yes." And he said, "Well, I am too." And they had worked for the same company for years, and neither one of them knew that they were members of the church. We don't need to live our Christian lives in secrecy. Even though it's gotten to the point in our society that there are many people who are threatening other people for standing up for Jesus Christ. There are many people in other countries who are being persecuted when they stand up for the cause of Christ. Still, there are other Christians who do live with fear and anxiety in this particular time in which we live. But I hate to tell you, this old world has been evil from the time of Adam and Eve, and it probably isn't going to get any better. Now, is that a reason for the Christian to despair? Is that a reason for the Christian to let all of his joy be sapped from his life? My answer to that is an emphatic no. There's a story that's told about a little girl who was sitting in a shopping cart, and her mother was pushing the cart, and they were at the checkout stand at a grocery store. And the little girl looked at a man in the nearest checker. She noticed the man was wearing a suit, but that wasn't all he was wearing. He was wearing a big old scowl on his face. He looked like he would bite your head off if you said a word to him. The little girl was used to people smiling at her and being very friendly with her. And she asked her mother, "Mommy, is that man a preacher?" And the mother asked why she thought the man was a preacher, and the girl said, "Well, he's wearing a suit, and he has a frown on his face, and he looks like he's sick." I hope I don't, and I hope as Christians we don't give off that impression to other people. It seems to me that the Christians should be the most joyful people in all the world. I didn't hear any amens on that. Okay. And if you're happy, you need to let your face know it. Show that happiness to other people. Let them see the joy of Jesus Christ living in you. And then use that opportunity to express your faith to others. So what kind of people ought we to be? In Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 13, "I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, and while hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, 'You will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears, they scarcely hear. They've closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear.'" Notice he says blessed there. That's a word that means happiness. We are to be happy because we can see what God wants us to see. Our ears can hear those things that God wants us to hear. And as a result, we are people of God who long to be with other Christians and who long for Jesus to return so that we can go to our eternal home. Yes, times are difficult. But in difficult times, there's an even greater need for godly people. In difficult times, there should be a much clearer delineation between people who are good and people who are evil. We need to be that shining light in our community, in our towns, in our state, in this country. It amazes me again that in our political climate, there are people who profess to be people of God, or there are people who profess to be Christians, and yet they say that character doesn't really matter. But character does matter. And those who say that character doesn't matter are the very people who will seek out people who have character for counsel and for help when times get tough for them. It is truly time we stand up and make a difference in the world. It's truly time that we make a difference in our families. It's truly time that we make a difference in the Lord's church here. When Peter described the certainty of the second coming of Christ and the destruction of the earth and the unfaithful, he wrote these words: "Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be? In holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to his purpose, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation." I truly believe that the Lord wants us to have that Christian joy in our lives and in our hearts and on our faces, even in the most difficult times, such as we are living in today. If there's anyone here this morning who needs to respond to the invitation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we hope that you will take this opportunity to do so. If you need to be baptized into Christ, we certainly hope that you will make that step. We will encourage you. We will help you through the way. If there's anyone who needs the prayers of the church, we want to pray for you and with you. Won't you come while we stand and sing?